Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 8. You can follow along in your pew Bible, the screen up above, or your own Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to an inhabited town, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way until they reached an inhabited town. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Prince's Bride by S. Morgenstern, Chapter 1. Buttercup was raised on a small farm in the country of Florin. Our favorite pastimes were riding her horse and tormenting the farm boy that worked there. His name was Wesley, but she never called him that. Isn't that a wonderful beginning?
Yeah, it's really good.
Nothing gave Buttercup as much pleasure as ordering Wesley around.
Farm boy, polish my horse's saddle. I want to see my face shining in it by morning.
As you wish.
As you wish was all he ever said.
Farm boy, fill these with water. Please.
As you wish.
That day she was amazed to discover that when he was saying as you wish, what he meant was, I love you. And even more amazing was the day she realized she truly loved him back.
Farm boy. Fetch me that pitcher.
To really appreciate this movie, The Princess Bride, I think we have to suspend our reality just a little bit and step into the world of sappy fairy tales once again. I must confess, this is not one of my favorite movies. This is a movie that is full of chases, escapes, miracles, and the sappy true love. It's a wacky story of boy meets girl, boy and girl separate, then reunite, then separate, then reunite, then separate, and it just goes on and on and on. And then, all of a sudden, snap, they live happily ever after. The movie is filled with charming geographical locations, like the Cliffs of Insanity, the Fire Swamp, which was my favorite, the Pit of Despair, and the Thieves' Forest. It is a highly quotable film, from Wesley's As You Wish, which we saw in the clip, to the Spaniards, My name is Indigo Montoya. You murdered my father. Now prepare to die. And my favorite, Inconceivable. It's a world of pirates and giants, miracles, sword fights, and rodents of unusual size. And it's in this countryside of this particular world that we find our heroes, Wesley and Buttercup. So as we ponder true love today, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time and in this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's children said, amen. In this world, true love is the ultimate goal, something to be fought for, something to never doubt in, something that is unique and is rare. And as Wesley says in the movie, Do you think this happens every day, this perfect love? Wesley is the first to express his love and his undying devotion and service to Buttercup with this phrase, as you wish. And he never gives up on it. Buttercup, not quite so much. But when Wesley is captured by the pirates and is believed to be dead, she falls into a deep depression. She gives up on this sense of true love, and she agrees to marry the Prince Humperdinck. Eventually, Wesley finds and rescues her. He accuses her of being faithless, of denying her true love and planning to marry another. "But what else could I do?" she says. I thought you were dead. And he tells her that not even death can kill true love. She vows to never doubt again, though of course she does. In order to save Wesley from death, she exchanges his life for her freedom and agrees to marry the treacherous Prince Humperdinck, if only Wesley will be let go. But her guilt haunts her, and in a dream she sees an old woman who publicly boos her, says, "You had love in your hands and you gave it up. Your true love lives, and yet you're going to marry another." True love saved her in the fire swamp, and she treated it flippantly. Sometimes we humans, we do that. You see, we live through the eyes of conditional love. Luckily, her beloved Wesley and crew come to save her, and after lots of sword fighting, Buttercup and Wesley are reunited for good. In the movie, true love and fate, they're deeply interwoven. Because their love, fate will always bring Buttercup and Wesley back together. Wesley has this unwavering faith in true love. He is self-assured that no real harm will come to him, that he is protected because it is absolute destiny that he and Buttercup will live together. Love is powerful. Love can change people and can transform the world. In our world, we've lost the idea that love is special, that love is precious. Instead, we treat it as rather ordinary. True love, I believe, is something that we all long for. It's prevalent in our culture. It's a fundamental human desire to love and to be loved. The words of the Song of Solomon, they come to mind when I think of Wesley's love for Buttercup. These words that say, "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. It flashes, or flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it." Those words have often been thought to be words from God to God's people. God's love for us is like a flame of fire. Love in this scripture shows how strong and how powerful it can be. Human love sometimes fails. It's not perfect. And frequently we forget that it's supposed to be fierce and eternal. But God's love is perfect and it defies death. You see, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus. The love of God goes with us no matter what. It stays with us and it works to guide us throughout our life. Living into God's presence means we embody this kind of love that Wesley shows Buttercup, even though Buttercup seems to forget a lot. Martin Luther King once said, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make of this old world a new world." Love is the only way in life. There is power in true love. Don't underestimate it. There is a certain sense that when you are truly loved and you know that someone cares for you and you know that when you love in return and you show it, it just feels like the world is right. There's a reason. Because that reason has to do with the source of where this true love comes from. We were made by this power of true love. Our lives were meant to be lived in this true love. the source of love is God. There's a poem that says that where true love is found, God is there. I see that love when we work in community together as the body of Christ. One of the mission projects that we work with is Project Transformation. And we work hands-on with Project Transformation in the month of June. So I invited our Project Transformation interns that we support today to share a little bit about their experience with this unconditional love of God that we find through Christ Jesus as we experience it through life-giving mission that we work together as a body. So Mitzi and Bethany are here to share a little bit about Project Transformation and how they live out this unconditional love.
Good morning. I am Mitzi Angueno, and I'm the volunteer coordinator at Project Transformation North Texas for Chapel Hill. I want to preface this by saying thank you. Thank you all from First United Methodist Church at Capel for adopting Bethany and I and welcoming us into your congregation with open arms. Today's sermon is about love, and I can see the unconditional love in all of you, in the members of this community that serve their time and energy these past 2 weeks, with the children of our community, but also transforming the lives of us, my colleagues, some of them which are here today. And Martha last week approached me, and she wanted me to talk to you about why I joined Project Transformation. And although I talk about why I joined Project Transformation on a daily basis with the volunteers when I give the volunteer orientation, I still don't know why I came to Project Transformation. I have to admit, my interview was less than mediocre, and I was sure that I wasn't going to get this job. But I prayed to God, and God answered my prayers. I wasn't sure what I was going to do after I graduated. And I wasn't sure that my calling to public service and to serve others was what I truly wanted to do. I enjoy public service, and I had gained valuable experience in working for a congressman and working in public education. And I was also about to commit 27 months in the Peace Corps, serving others outside my community. Yet I still didn't know if this was my plan or God's plan. So I decided, for the many reasons, to apply to Project Transformation. One of them being is that I'm a first-generation American, and I live in El Paso, Texas. That's as far west as you can go. And I live in an underserved community. And I've had wonderful mentors throughout my life that have inspired me to pursue higher education and to learn the importance of reading and learning. And I wanted to give back to the community. I wanted to give back to other communities in the United States. Another reason was also because I wanted to prepare myself for my time in the Peace Corps, and the values aligned from Project Transformation, the values aligned with Peace Corps and Project Transformation are very similar. But another reason, a big part of it, was because I wanted to feel close to God. I wanted God to take me and to tell me that this was a path that I was supposed to take. And I have felt that Project Transformation has already transformed my life. And that's what Project Transformation does. It has brought me closer to my faith. It has brought me close to colleagues like Bethany and like a few others that I'd like to recognize in this moment, Caitlin and Sarah, who guide me with their unconditional love and guide also with their unconditional love the children that we serve. And God has spoken through me, through my colleagues and through the volunteers and through the children that we serve, that this is what I should do, that this is what I'm supposed to do in my life. Someone asked me one day why I chose public service. And my reply was short. I told them that public service is about serving others and loving our neighbor, oftentimes without knowing them. And that's what Project Transformation does in a similar way. We serve others, but also we serve with others. It's not about what I think this community needs, it's about what this community actually needs. And that's a difference in public service. And
I have felt that throughout my time here. I have felt the love of my colleagues, the volunteer, and the children guiding me this summer to serve. As a volunteer coordinator, I have the privilege of meeting people each day. It's so strange to care about volunteers and about people, and I have not met them yet. But that's because that's what my job entails. I am filled with immense appreciation each week for the individuals that come and serve their time to read with our children. Volunteers are putting others before themselves. Their love and the love of God is shared to our children. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned working with Project Transformation. It's learning to recognize the difference between serving and serving with others. When we serve others with others, we learn to love. We learn to understand that with every person we serve, we're also serving God, because God is in each and every one of us. Oftentimes, it's easy to forget this, especially with working with children, when they can get a little crazy, a little rowdy, and a little wild. But serving with others fills us with the love of God. God's love is everlasting. In today's world, with so much technology and so many distractions, it's difficult to find that true love. But let us not forget about God and His love. Let us not forget that we can partake in His love and sharing love unconditionally by serving with others. Thank you.
Mitzi, don't ever forget, you are a blessing. Your calling is a calling to do something great in this world. We believe in that.
It's really hard to follow up on that. So sorry, I lost my voice, and it's, like, slowly coming back, so I sort of sound like I'm dying, but I'm okay. My name's Bethany Fix, and I am the reading coordinator at Chapel Hill's site for Project Transformation North Texas, which basically means that I get to be in charge of all of the kids reading in their reading program and the literacy program. So I get to oversee when the volunteers come, what they read with the kids, that kids are reading on their reading level, and figuring out what they're struggling with and how we can help them improve on that. Mitzi shared why she chose Project Transformation, so I'm going to do the same thing to begin with. And my journey to Project Transformation is a little weird. So I grew up in South Florida, West Palm Beach, and my parents are both in ministry. They actually work for a ministry that is very similar to Project Transformation, that serves people in underserved communities to uplift them and to provide education support for children and their families. They have an after-school program and a summer camp, which is exactly what Project Transformation does. So I've grown up my entire life surrounded by ministry. And I always tell my parents that they did it wrong, because they were supposed to do ministry and then I was supposed to do something to make me rich. But I want to be a teacher. So, sorry guys. So through my parents' ministry, I found a love for reading and for other people to have an opportunity to read. I have met so many kids, and I have seen that God has a specific calling on every person's life. Some people are called to be teachers. Some people are called to be politicians. Some people are called to be construction workers or tradesmen. And for every single thing that we are called to do, you need to be able to read. If you're a construction worker, you're going to need to be able to read blueprints. If you're a professor, you need to read books and assignments. If you're a politician, you have to read speeches. You need to be able to read. And in a lot of underserved communities, kids don't always have the resources that they need to be able to do this, because the schools just don't have money to hire the teachers necessary. I really want to become a reading specialist, which is a teacher for kids with reading and writing disabilities. And in a lot of poor school districts, they can't hire reading specialists, which breaks my heart. So this summer I was looking for an internship, and really weird, I go to school in Massachusetts. So I'm from Florida, I go to school in Massachusetts, and I'm in Texas. And I was looking for a job that would help me learn how to serve kids in reading. And I was on my school's job website, and I stumbled upon Project Transformation, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. So I applied, and I really prayed about it because I was thinking, am I crazy? I'm going to Texas. I've never even been to Texas. I'm going to live in Texas for a summer? That's insane. And I was really praying about it, but God was like, no, I want you to do this. I want you to step outside of your comfort zone and try this out. And so I hopped on a plane and I came to Project Transformation, and I sort of had this mindset of like, oh, I've grown up in ministry. I'm going to, like, yes, it'll push me. I'm in a new place, but not that much. And I showed up the first day and I was like, wow, this is so different. It's amazing how quickly you fall in love with these kids. Mitzi talked about how she found her calling, and these kids have just shown her unconditional love. And we think that we come into these situations serving these kids and, oh, I'm showing them the love. I'm showing them God's love. But it's really the opposite way. These kids are showing you their love. And I don't think I realized how quickly I found love with them until, like, 2 weeks into program. There was a huge debacle where I was maybe going to have to switch sites because another site had an issue and they really needed help. And thank goodness I didn't have to, but I just started sobbing when I found out. I was thinking, why am I crying so hard? And it was because I already loved these kids so much. I'd known them for like 14 days, and I could already see just the love of Christ filled up in them. They're so passionate about God. They'll run up to me and they'll be like, Miss Bethany, we didn't have Bible time today, and I'm really upset, because they're just so thirsty for the scripture. And it's so awesome because Mitzi and I and our other colleagues get this opportunity to not only love these kids and show them Christ's love, but have them show us his love through just their thirst for the scripture. And it's really just taught me to have faith like a child again, because they're so excited for God. And I'm reminded that, hey, this is how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be passionate about God like they are. It should break my heart every time I don't have Bible time in the morning, when I don't have time in the morning to jump into my scripture and spend time with Christ. And it should break our hearts not to have the opportunity to serve. Our kids get so excited about picking up trash because they get to serve other people. We have this running thing that, oh, you guys are leaders. And they'll come up to me, they'll be like, Miss Bethany, I picked up a piece of trash. I'm a leader. And it's just so amazing because they're excited to serve. And we get to have the opportunity to serve these kids also. When volunteers like you come, it's so awesome because the kids just love it. They love seeing Christ's love poured into them and just getting that individual time to read and get to know somebody one-on-one, because the volunteers aren't just having the kids read with them, but you guys are able to talk to them and be like, hey, this character is doing this. Do you ever struggle with that? I know I do. And just showing these kids how much they are loved and how much they can have Christ in their lives. So I also want to thank you guys for taking the time to serve these children, because you give them the opportunity to see Christ's love every time you walk through those doors. And by sponsoring Mitzi and I and our colleagues, you give us the opportunity to both reflect Christ's love and receive it. So thank you guys so much. Thank you for this opportunity, for letting us come and visit you guys, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Mitzi and Bethany, for sharing just a little bit about this true love, this experiencing the unconditional love of God through Christ Jesus that we experience when we are in community together, serving and working. Psalm 107 that was shared today before we watched our movie clip was originally a liturgy of thanksgiving. It was offered as one of Israel's great festivals, as evidence by an opening call to give thanks. And there's a refrain that's repeated throughout. It says, let them give thanks to the Lord for God's unfailing love. The theme of this thanksgiving is the word in Hebrew called hesed. It's translated as unfailing, enduring, lasting forever, demonstrated by the goodness of God and God's role as redeemer of God's people. Wesley was Buttercup's redeemer, just as Christ is our redeemer. Out of God's unfailing love, we are saved. This psalm was probably a reference to Israel's second salvation history, and it celebrated the release of the hostages from the exile. To move God's people into thanksgiving, the psalm writer doesn't put forth a series of propositions extolling the goodness of God's love. Rather, the psalmist tells stories. Stories that enable us to live into Israel's experience of a love that will not let us go. That's why we heard the story of Project Transformation, to hear a little bit about that love that will not let us go. You see, God's love is unconditional and true, unlike what we often find in the movies. God's love can transform us and the world. That's true love, my friends. Like so many movies, The Princess Bride, it ends with a kiss. We don't know exactly what happens, but we guess that they live happily ever after, but we don't get to really see it. Wesley and Buttercup show us that there are many forces in the world that will try to tear us apart. From other people, to wars, to natural disasters, the world that The Princess Bride has to offer is really simple. Believe in true love and you'll be okay in the end. Doubt it for a second, and disaster will set in. Our love for each other does sometimes fail. But our love for God never fails. We doubt the goodness of God and the love of God and the existence of God, yet God still loves us. No matter what, James. Thank you for that reminder. No matter what. That is a prophet, my friend. No matter what. When we have doubt, we're not suddenly in peril. God still holds us close. God still waits patiently to pull us back in until we're able to believe once again. That's amazing, true love, God's love for us. There is redemptive quality to our human love. There is power and grace and healing that God bestows. We are called to live that true love out in the world. The Princess Bride, it is a story about true love. True love is the strongest bond that exists in this world. And the truest love of all is the love of God exemplified by the standard that was set by Christ Jesus. When we operate with the love of God in our heart and we impact our love, it makes on the world, it is real, my friends. We see it when we show up at Project Transformation. The kids love us more than we can show to them. I see it in the kids' eyes when I get to sit and read. I see it in the interns, because they're ready to jump in and they work with the kids. I see the unconditional love lived out every time one of us is willing to show up and be used by God. Nothing in this world can change the fact that God loves us. With God's love, we are more than conquerors. We are winners in every sense of the word. Our love need not be affected by the trials and tribulations of this world. We recognize that we're going to go through hard times. The scripture says it's night seasons. But the love that binds us to God is not changed by our outward circumstances, as Buttercup seems to flip-flop back and forth. It abides within us, and it grows stronger every day and with every passing moment. The challenges of life are going to come, but the love of God is constant and will never fail. That's true, unconditional love. That's power. That's that fire kind of love. Imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families when this true love is the way that we live. Imagine our neighborhoods and our communities all around where true love is the way. Imagine this world where true love is the way. When love reigns, then no child will go to bed hungry ever again. When true love reigns, justice will roll down like a mighty river, as the scripture says. When true love lives, poverty will not exist anymore. Everyone will have the right to equal quality education, and all will be welcomed and seen as a blessing. All of creation will become a sanctuary of peace. When love is the way of all God's children, we all belong and have a place at the table. When love is the way, we treat each other as brothers and sisters, as family in the body of Christ. You see, for so God loved the world that God sent Christ to give us this true example of love. May we be love in this world. May we be bold enough to claim it, to be that fire. For God so loved the world that he gave Christ. And all God's children said,